This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to the Horses in the Morning Show on the Horse Radio Network for September the 5th, episode 992. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Well, hey, everybody. Good morning. Thank you for joining us on this Friday. It's the weekend coming up, and there's nobody that knows that better than Jamie, who just called in from her horse show in California. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you're where again? Remind everybody where you're at.
I am in Ramona, California at Copper Meadows Horse Trials, and I could barely find my car this morning. It's like, you know, it's 6 a.m. here. So it's so foggy that I left my trailer. I was like, where am I? And I had to hit the button on the keys to get my truck to go, boop, boop. I could see the lights. It's so foggy. It's great.
And when do you ride? Today you'll do dressage today, right?
Yes. I am riding dressage around 12:30. And yes, I am in the division of beginner novice with frickin' Gina Miles.
Olympian, yeah. Gina Miles. Yeah, good luck with that.
Thank you. There's a lot of really, really fancy riders in my division. So, you know, though, here's the deal, and here's what we can expect. You know, like Chad said after my ride yesterday, because I got here and I wanted to ride Edward around, he's like, we're just here to have fun, okay? It's like, oh, that's good. Because I had... My Edward hasn't really been anywhere, and he's very nervous. He's a very nervous horse, and sometimes he settles down, and sometimes he just doesn't. And yesterday was a day he doesn't. And you know what the worst thing in the world is? First of all, he's so skinny. He's very hard to keep weight on. He's super skinny, and he was very nervous. And I had four. Oh, hey, did you just get that horse off the track? Like that's never good. I'm like, no, he's been off the track for like almost 2 years. Just start saying yes.
Yeah, just agree with it.
Yeah, that'd probably be easier.
Yeah, right off the track last week.
I want to clarify something because I think this was in your contract. You remember you're not allowed to wear any Horse Radio Network logo wear while you're at shows. You remembered that, right?
You're so sweet, you big jerk. He might be amazing today. Who knows? But he's not a galloping, crazy lunatic. He's just a jigging, sweating ball of nerves that is so, he's so scared. So it's like, you just got to kind of reassure him. It's okay. Life is okay.
Poor guy. Well, Jamie's going to hang out with us here for a little bit at the beginning of the show. She won't be staying for the whole show because obviously she has a show to get ready for, but we do appreciate you getting up early. You're the only one there probably moving around at this hour. So we do appreciate that. And we have a jam-packed show. I'm full of a lot of stuff. Jennifer's going to tell us about it.
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, it's off to the vet first thing this morning. As we go behind the scenes at Woodbine with Dr. Brian Van Arum, and then leaving at Canada for France, Wiley will be here to recount her Horse Nation Wacky Weg adventure. And then it's back stateside for a chat with Albert Cleave about the upcoming World Percheron Congress, where Glenn and Dr. Ying will be headlining. and carefully counting our strides into the weekend, really bad ads. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer, and I do have a daily winner. My daily winnie goes out to Emily Thompson, who Jamie had the pleasure of co-hosting with on Tuesday because...
Happy birthday! Happy
it's her birthday! Happy birthday, Emily Thompson! So I'm sure she's going to have a wonderful day up there in the state of New York. Did you have one or not?
I can make
you
one
don't
up.
Have to. Okay. This is on the fly, Daily Winnie. With
you think
Jamie.
I should give it to you think I should give it to Wise Dan or Zenyatta? Yeah, let's do that. Wise Dan and Zenyatta get my Daily Winnie today just because I didn't have anything else. And I'm very stuffy and I'm trying to sleep in a trailer with a baby, so I'm a little tired.
I did want to ask you before we go on with the show, this is your first great adventure with the new truck. How'd that go?
The new truck, my husband's new truck is, I don't want to like it. I love it. It's so great. Oh my gosh, it's so nice. It's got one of the bigger cabs. It fit the baby seat really well, and it's so comfortable, and I hate leather. This has leather, and it's so nice.
And I bet you it didn't have any trouble pulling over those hills, did it?
No, it laughed. It sneezed. It barely cared. It's so nice.
Well, good. I'm glad that worked out. Well, we wanted to start the show off today. I mentioned it yesterday, just in a briefly mentioned it yesterday. We kind of lost a friend of ours on Wednesday. Jennifer and I went down and had a wonderful day at the Universal Studios. We got to see the new Harry Potter world. We actually met Joe and Ruthie down there, who host the eventing show once a month. Eventer Joe Meyer was there, and we caught up with them for a little while, had some fun. Then we got home, and actually Jamie was calling with some bad news. That she had seen during the day, and that's that we lost a friend of ours, Sandy Lovato, who is Frankie Lovato. Regular listeners to the show will know Frankie. He's been with us, since the beginning, Jamie? I mean, really the beginning. He's probably been on 100 times, and he's the ex-jockey that comes on with us to talk racing and fun and has been a terrific addition to the show. And we knew his wife, Sandy, from years ago. I don't even know how we met him. It must have been 6, 7, 8 years ago. We've had dinner with him in the past and met up with him at various places and had a good time hanging out with him. And Sandy, unfortunately, was in a very traumatic car accident on Wednesday. Somebody ran a stop sign and hit her broadside the way it looked. Both of them died, the driver and Sandy. And the other driver's wife, who was 76, I think, also is in critical condition. So it was just a bad scene all the way around. And apparently, from what I read, this particular intersection has had a habit of having really bad accidents. This is not the first one. I don't know if it was a blind curve or what caused it, but the reason that we're doing a little tribute to Sandy here today is because she really was part of the family of the Horse Radio Network, as Frankie is, and, we all feel for Frankie. And I'm going to try and get through this without any trouble. We also know that a lot of our fans, judging by our Facebook posts and the way you have poured out to Frankie on his page, know Frankie. They probably don't know Sandy as well, although she has been a guest on this show. They know Frankie very well. I heard from somebody that works with Frankie that's really close to Frankie yesterday. They reached out, Kayla, and Kayla, I think her last name's pronounced Jarvinen, is her, kind of Frankie's right-hand person and helps him out with everything that he does over there with jockey school and everything. And she actually reached out to us yesterday to say thank you to all the listeners of the Horse Radio Network, Frankie is aware that we're there for him and that you know, were there to support him in any way possible. So that was very nice of her. The I know we have some listeners that are in the area and know Frankie, and the viewing is tonight at the Walker Funeral Home in Norwalk, Ohio, on Main Street in Norwalk, Ohio, from 3 to 7, and then the Mass will be 10 a.m. on Saturday at St. Paul Catholic Church, and that's also in Norwalk. So if you will want to attend one of those, you can find all the details at the Walker Funeral Home website there. They were married. She's 54 years old, only 2 years older than me, actually. And they were married for 32 years. They met at a track. They met at the racetrack. She actually was there working with horses at the racetrack. I think she was an exercise rider when they first met. And that's where they met. And they got married in 1978, 2 years before Jennifer and I. And they've been together ever since. So they've been hanging out and doing their thing. They have three kids, Megan, Sean, and Timothy. And they have one granddaughter named Allison. And you'll remember, Jamie, Frankie talking about his granddaughter Allison and how she was getting him to ride, or her to ride Popcorn, his little pony.
Yeah.
And I think Allison spends a lot of time at Grandma and Grandpa's house. She was a lifelong horse enthusiast. She got her first pony, Sandy did, when she was 5 years old. She showed horses throughout her youth. And in 2010, she became PATH certified. That's a therapeutic riding instructor certification. And she started a place called the Stampede of Dreams in Norwalk. And it's SOD is the acronym for it. And it's an equine-assisted horseback riding program, and they did riding for children and adults with special needs. She was very well known in that area for the Stampede of Dreams. And I know that we've had her on to talk about that and the good work that she has done over there. But, you know, a lot of people don't know that she was, when they lived in New York, she was actually the PTA president of School District 13 for many, many years, and she received numerous service awards for her dedication and time that she gave to the school district. She was very involved in her kids growing up and their education and everything that happened over there when they lived in New York. He was over there being a jockey. She was so supportive, and Jamie, it cannot be easy being the wife of a jockey because they're on the go all the time.
Yeah, it takes a supporting, loving person to be the other half of a jockey for sure. And you know, just hearing about this, it just breaks my heart for Frankie. I mean, he loved his wife, and he is such a warm person, and so is she, and they were just such a wonderful couple. I'm so unbelievably sad, and so unbelievably sad for Frankie and his family. Oh, it's just heartbreaking.
You know, we talked about it a little bit, tiny bit, yesterday when Tammy was on, and of course, Tammy, you know, when we started talking about this brings back memories for her because she was in a really, really bad accident and, you know, spent a year recovering from it. So, you know, she understands, that all those emotions that people go through. And, you know, I could tell yesterday she was, the one thing she said, too, is, you know, you got to appreciate what you have now and who you have now, because she was just going to work. You know, Sandy was just going to work in the morning and didn't come home. So that's something that we all have to keep in mind is that I gave Jennifer a few extra hugs in the last couple of days.
And reading Frankie's Facebook page with all the wonderful outpouring of support from the racing world and our Horse Radio Network world and just their family and friends, it really makes you squeeze your partner, you know, and make sure that when they leave the house, you say, I love you, and you let them know. And let them know every day, and let the people around you know how you feel about them. I love you, Glenn. I love you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Jamie. And we love all of you. We love our listeners, too. We want you to know that. I had a chance, somebody that was good friends, and we'll end with this, somebody that was good friends with them, with Sandy and Frankie, were Templeton Thompson and Sam. And I got a chance to talk to Tempe a little bit yesterday and invited her to come on this morning for the segment. She just couldn't do it. we all know Templeton, and she's an emotional wreck on a good day. So she's just so passionate about everything. And she did say, though, that Sandy had a favorite song of hers. Sandy loved to watch Templeton, especially when she played live. And I actually been with Frankie and Sandy to see Templeton live. And she loved to watch Templeton play live. And I asked Templeton if there was a favorite song, and she said there was. It was A Horse That Can Fly. So we're both going to cut. We're both going to come back after this. But it's A Horse That Can Fly. Can you stay? Are you going to stay for a little bit, or do you have to cut out here?
Jenny? Oh, I don't know if I can listen to this. This is going to wreck me.
All right. Well, if you need to bail out, you bail out. And good luck this weekend at the show. We really appreciate you stopping by and saying hello.
Absolutely. I love you guys. And Frankie, big hugs to you guys and your family. And Templeton, thank you for providing music to pretty much every horse girl's soul. It's the music that we all, it's just perfect for us.
Caged in, need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes. Need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head. Gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass. Get me over that fence, yeah, 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 yeah. 'Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to rock. Fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Back and a lot on my mind. Yeah, the weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and leave a big old cloud of dust. Yeah, 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 yeah. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to rock. A fresh pair of strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Giddy up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left, then straight on till morning. Strong, tall wind and a
Well, that was Templeton Thompson with A Horse That Can Fly, dedicated to Sandy Lovato. All right, we're going to continue on with the show here, and we are continuing our series that we've enjoyed doing so much. We call it Behind the Scenes at Woodbine, and, of course, we're talking about the racetrack up there in Canada. And we have somebody on the line here who has definitely been behind the scenes at the racetrack for a long time, and his name is Dr. Brian Van Arum. And, Doctor, how long have you been at Woodbine?
Well, Woodbine itself, I've been here for a little over 35 years. I started off when I was just a little kid, but as a veterinarian, I was there about 20 years now at the racetrack.
Oh, wow. Most vets don't make it that long at racetracks, so congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. And I just fell in love with horses when I was a kid, and I was 10 years old looking for a summer job. I went to a golf course, a fish farm, and a horse farm, and it was the only one that would hire a 10-year-old would be the farm, it happened to be a racehorse farm. And, oh, God, yeah. And I just fell in love with the horses, you know, that day. I got to go to the racetrack with people that had the farm. And actually, the first race I actually watched was Secretariat when he ran up here back in 1973. So watching that is what really, it really drove it for me. And I wanted to work with horses, and the manager kept saying, just if you want to work with horses, just be a vet. So I was like, all right, I'll do it.
So did Secretariat win that race?
Yes, that was his last race of his career, and that was the international
the
up here at Woodbine.
Wow.
That was the very last race, and I had bet $2 on the horse. The trainer gave me $2, went up to the window, and even at 11 years old, he's beside me. I bet the $2, and I kept the ticket. I still have it today.
Oh, wow. How many people can say that they saw Secretariat was the first race?
I ran into the jockey who rode the horse that day, Eddie Maple. I got him to sign the ticket for me, and then I ran into Ron Turcotte at another function, and he signed it as well. So I got both jockeys to sign that ticket for me. So it's I still have that. So it's one of those fine memories that I enjoy with the racetrack.
Definitely. Wow. Yeah, keep that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, you became a vet and then ended up on the backside of the racetrack. And, you know, we know what I think one of the big things I thought about when we found out we were going to be talking to you is that we've all had vets come out and see our horses and everything. And, you know, the life of a normal vet is you'll travel around and you might see 10 to 12 clients on a good day, right? That's what you have time to see. You see so many more than that. Tell us how many you'll see in a day.
Well, now the racetrack here at Woodbine, there's 2,000 horses on the grounds. We look after probably about a quarter of those horses. So you look at about 500 horses that we have, that we keep an eye on. Now, of those, we might have, 20 different trainers, and the trainers will have somewhere between 1 to 45 horses here at the racetrack. So, we'll go from barn to barn to go see the specific trainer to find out, if there's been any issues overnight, any issues that they're concerned about, any issues that they foresee in the future. And then we'll look at the horses that they have concerns with. It could be a horse with a temperature. It could be a horse that's not eating. It could be a horse that's uncomfortable. It could be a horse with a nick or a nasal discharge. On and on. So we might not look at every horse every day, but we are looking at the ones that are of concern. And we might, sometimes we might be looking at 3 or 4 times a day, going back to the same horse again, and just keeping an eye on them and see how things are going.
Okay, so I have a question that everybody out there is thinking, and I'm only brave enough to ask, is, normally we get charged by vet calls. Is it different on a track? Is there do they pay so much a month and then they have you available? Does it work differently on a track?
Yeah, it definitely does. We don't charge for looking at the horse, and we don't charge service calls because we're here on the grounds anyway. We just charge for what we do. So if you come and say, if you say, geez, my horse is coughing, he's got nasal discharge, I'll come, take a look at it. We'll take his temperature to see where we sit. We'll make a recommendation maybe to take a blood sample and just to see if he's got an infection coming up. Or we just might monitor it and see, it looks like it might be just dust in the air and whatnot as well. So if we don't do anything, we don't charge for it. We just charge for actually what we do.
Yeah,
so that is different than a farm. Now, we do some farm work as well. So obviously we charge for service call to go out to specific farms. We don't do as many. Just was so busy at the racetrack, it's hard to do. But we do have clients at the racetrack that have farms that we do as well.
Well, you know, and you are dealing with thoroughbred, young thoroughbreds, and as all of us that have adopted thoroughbreds after they've left the racetrack know, they can be unpredictable at times. You know, has this been a dangerous profession for you?
Oh, my God, yeah. It's the number of times I've been kicked, and that's the same thing. It is very dangerous, and you really have to respect the animal that you're working with at the same time. And you try not to put yourself in a situation where, you know, that you're going to get hurt or your handle is going to get hurt or the horse is going to get hurt. And so you're always cautious, and you have to respect that horse that you're working on, that's for sure.
Now, you know, normally if a vet comes out and the horse is acting up, they tranquilize it, and, you know, that way we can all do the teeth or whatever we have to do, right? But,
right.
You know, can you do that on the track, or are you always watching, you know, you have to watch what you can use on the track. And I know that you're inspected, aren't you? They come around and check on you on a regular basis to make sure that all of your medicines and your syringes and all of that are proper.
That's right. Now, we have a governing board that looks after everything that we do, and we're licensed with the governing board, and they'll come out, and once a year they come and do an annual inspection to make sure with all our equipment and whatnot as well, it's all up to date, and we're registered with everything, and they will check dates on medications and whatnot as well. And then you've also got the racetrack itself that will have a governing body that will do spot checks here and there just to make sure that everybody's on the same keel and whatnot too. But when we do, you know, tranquilizers and whatnot for the horses, we're very careful on withdrawal times, exactly how far out we're allowed to use certain medications, you know, when it does come to tranquilizers and whatnot as well. So that can be a bit of an issue sometimes. We're checking horses that are a little on the run, a bunch of size, and we can't give them any kind of tranquilizer. So again, you're trying to be very careful with that.
So you've been there so many years. There must be some certain situations that stand out as some of your favorite or not so favorite memories. Can you share one or two?
Oh, my God. It's, you know, it's horses, and they do some wacky things, that's for sure. One that comes right to mind is we had a horse that had thrown its rider, and it had gotten loose, and it's running down the backside here. And I was close by. I didn't actually see this happen, but I saw the aftermath. What had happened was it ran right into a manure bin, and the manure bin is 10 feet wide, 6 feet high, and probably 4 or 5 feet with the width as well. It ran into that, flipped over, and flipped upside down inside of the manure bin.
Oh.
So they called me right up. The horse is upside down with all the tack on it. The legs are all going, and they called me up, and everybody's running towards me, and I'm looking at this going, oh, my God. And first thing I think is, holy cow, this thing is, you know, it broke its neck. You know, so I jumped in the manure bin with a shot of tranquilizer because it was, you know, I got to get this thing tranquilized so that it doesn't try to kill itself trying to get back out again. It's still upside down. Tranquilize the horse. Now I jump out. Now I'm trying to assess the situation, trying to figure out how the heck am I going to get this horse out of here. So I had enough people standing around looking at me. I said, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to end up tipping this whole bin. We're going to get a whole bunch of people to push this bin, tip it, and on its side, and then we'll pull the horse up from there. So we tipped the bin on the side, and as soon as we tipped it on the side, the horse just jumped right up, stood there, shook his head, and just walked right off. And I said, I couldn't believe it. Not a scratch on the horse at all. And he's going, unbelievable. And like I said, I thought for sure that this had, had broken its neck, but nope. This is strange.
It was a soft landing.
That horse will not have a second career as a steeplechaser, a jumper, or an
eventer. No, you're right.
That is going to be a dressage horse someday.
Yes.
You know, you read these stories with James Herriot, it really is stuff like that happens all the time. Oh my God, I was at a farm call last year, and it was one of my Olympic trainers. I do a little bit with the hunter jumpers as well, and she had called me up. She had a potbelly pig that she had as a pet, as a mascot at the farm, and a dog had come and bit the pig, and it had a cut in there. So she asked me to come and take a look at it. So I was like, oh my God, all right. So, you know, what do I know about pigs? So, you know, so went over there and looking at this big potbelly pig with a cut on it. So the only way, you know, I did it like I would a horse. So we tranquilized it, and then I, you know, put a little bit of lidocaine in and started suturing this thing up and cleaning it up. And the only thing we could do with it is I don't think the tranquilizer worked because this thing was yelling and screaming. It sounded like we were killing a baby. That's exactly what this thing sounded like the whole time. So the trainer is on the pig's head holding it down. I've got the one of her assistants holding the leg so I can suture this thing, with this thing squealing and yelling the whole time just because we're holding it down. And this the trainer is, you know, she owns the pig, and she is, like, so intense into this. And the assistant is laughing her head off the whole time while I'm trying to suture this back up. And I said, oh, my God. If I had a YouTube video of that, it would, you know, it would have made 1,000 hits, you know, for sure. It's unbelievable.
You guys must get really, really good at suturing moving animals.
Yes, I've been asked to sew up the odd pair of pants and whatnot as well after they see what we do with this. The trouble with horses is that their skin is so thin, it takes nothing for it to rip. And so that's a problem we get into a lot of times, these nicks and cuts it's like paper, their skin. And that is a big, big problem with the horses.
We have a greyhound, and we've had a number of greyhounds over the years that we rescue off the track after they're done, or adopt off the track after they're done. And their skin is the same way. It's so thin.
Yeah.
You know, she touches anything, she gets a cut. It's the exact same way. Yeah.
Well, I compliment you for your, you know, for the greyhound rescue, and then anybody else who gets into the thoroughbred rescues. It's, they're beautiful, beautiful animals, and I feel privileged to work with them every day. I just love what I do, and I do feel privileged to be able to work with these horses.
Well, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate you joining us. Of course, it's you can just Google Woodbine, and you'll certainly find the track. It's up there. In Canada, we've done a whole series of interviews, and every one, by the way, has been good. You got some fun people that work there. I'm glad we had
the characters
opportunity
of the racetrack are half of the excitement we get here. Boy, that's for sure.
But I mean, you got some terrific people, and you know what's been interesting is all the people we've had on, and you might be the fifth or sixth, is they've all been there forever. They seem to stay; they don't leave.
Yep.
So I know you'll be retiring from there too, Dr. Brian. You'll be calling it quits, heading out the back door of Woodbine someday. But,
well, what happens is that what I notice with the horse industry here are people are retiring from other businesses, and they're getting into the horse business when they're 60, 65 years old. And you talk to them, they go, I've retired from my business. I've always wanted to own horses or become a trainer. And now they're starting to get into that age, and they stay there. And they stay there till the day they die. You know, and it gives them something to do after they retire. And, you know you're in the right career when people are doing that.
Well, if you want to find out more about the track, it's woodbineentertainment.com. And that's, you can find the race card and everything there. Thank you so much, Dr. Brian Van Arum. We appreciate you joining us.
Glenn, Jennifer, thank you very much.
That was fun. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I love vets at racetracks because they always have the best stories and they know how to tell them. They're always really, really good at it.
Well, yeah, you have to take your job seriously, but you're not yourself too seriously when you're a track vet, I think.
And I want to thank him too. He didn't realize it, but after doing our tribute to a lost friend this morning, he helped bring the show back. So we appreciate that too. Well, we're going to be back here talking about bringing the show back. We have Leslie Wiley coming up next after this word from Kentucky Performance Products to talk about the mess that she found over there at eventing at the World Equestrian Games. We're going to talk to her in just a minute.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Did you know that easy keepers and horses on restricted diets are often at risk for vitamin and mineral deficiencies? Most easy keepers are maintained on hay, and some get a few handfuls of grain a day, and most of these horses get little to no green grass. Diets that don't include significant levels of green grass or recommended amounts of fortified concentrates just don't supply enough vitamins and minerals. Many horse folks don't realize that hay alone, even high-quality green hay, is not an adequate source of many vitamins. For example, when grass is cut and dried for hay, the vitamins quickly lose their potency. 70% of the vitamin E found in grass is lost in the first week after it is cut for hay. One way to ensure that your special needs horse is getting all the vitamins and minerals he needs is to add a vitamin and mineral supplement to his diet. A well-balanced supplement will provide the nutrients your horse requires without adding unwanted calories, starches, and sugars. Microphase, made by Kentucky Performance Products, is a vitamin and trace mineral supplement that bridges the gap in your feeding program. With Microphase, your horse receives adequate and balanced vitamin and mineral nutrition without unwanted calories or other ingredients. The minerals in Microphase have been chelated, a process that protects minerals during digestion and increases their absorption in the intestines. Microphase provides vitamins, such as vitamin E, in a natural form, so your horse receives optimal results from this supplement.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
Well, coming up now, we have somebody that usually joins us on Monday, and I guess we might get her back on Monday, but we had to have her on an extra time because she wrote some of the funniest articles for Eventing Nation and Horse Nation about her time at the World Equestrian Games covering the eventing in France. She spent a whole week there. Good morning, Leslie Wiley.
Good morning. Bonjour.
Bonjour. You're still saying it, huh?
No.
Still in So now, you obviously, I mean, we've covered the eventing and we've talked about who won and all of that stuff and about the, you know, the event itself. But tell us a little bit about the articles that you wrote about the kind of lack of organization that French had for this particular sport. So where do you want to start?
Well, you know, I've been looking forward to this trip for months, you know, and I knew it was going to be awesome, but I was also a little bit nervous because, you know, I think, you know, I was at WEG in 2010, which they, you know, did a remarkable job of pulling off, but it's still, you know, a giant undertaking. I remember, you know, I was at Atlanta Olympics in 96, and, you know, just when you're bringing that many people into one place, it is, you know, it's going to be, there are going to be some challenges along the way, some road bumps. So, you know, we got to Normandy, and it quickly became apparent that, you know, there were some logistical issues.
Like what?
Well, at first, Jenny Autry, who is Eventing Nation's editor, we went over there together. At first, we thought it was us. It's not the event. It's us. We're just having a hard time navigating, you know, over here, and we're sleep deprived, and maybe, you know, we're blowing this out of proportion, and then, you know, we started talking to other people and the week wore on and it became apparent that we were not alone in our difficulties. it was just trying to you know, get where we needed to go. The shuttle system was a little bit little ran on French time, sort of mysterious routes that you kind of had to guess at. The eventing mostly took place at Ara Dupin, or as I like to call it, Harris Dupin, and as we like to refer to it here in Tennessee. Which was a venue about an hour away from the main venues at Cannes. And so we went out there the first day. We went out for the jog, and then we went out for the 2 days of dressage and then the cross country, and then the show jumping was held back at Cannes in the big stadium there. But by Thursday, we knew that there were there were going to be some problems. the place immediately turned into a mud pit. I think that they got a lot more rain than they were expecting, and I think we started calling it, like, it sort of became lovingly known as Woodstock. We would call it Woodstock Wig because it was just a muddy mess. And so I went out
which,
one day.
Which can happen at any show. You know, we've been to other events that have turned into muddy messes. That can happen, and, of course, they have no control over the rain. But what they do have control over are things. Well, let me read this to you. This is on the FEI All-Tech World Equestrian Games page, and this a Facebook page, and this was posted by somebody who went to Cross Country Day. This should have been a great event. I had been so looking forward to it. Instead, it was the most poorly organized show I've ever been to. The queuing in both con and whatever you said there, the DuPont place, was horrific. Signage poor and staff unhelpful, not briefed, and officious. The water closets, the porta potties, were too few and disgusting. And who thought three catering vans for 50,000 people was sufficient? So, I mean, and then there are like hundreds of those comments on there. So let's start with the bathrooms. Not enough, huh?
The bathrooms. Yeah, I mean, just all across the board. I heard horror stories about the bathrooms in the stadium at Con to start with, that they overflowed. I won't, go into detail.
I think we can imagine.
But, I guess essentially the toilets there are sort of like holes in the ground, and you're not supposed to put your, toilet paper in them, but of course nobody knows that. So of course everyone did, and then they got backed up, and it was kind of flooded the bathrooms. So that was disgusting. I'm awfully glad that I was not there for that. And then they had, just not enough porta potties, and not frequently enough maintained at the venting venue. It felt like a little bit like a have to like been to Bonnaroo and Coachella, like these music festivals. It kind of felt a little like that.
Now, what about the food? We saw the pictures you took. Literally, the lines were hundreds long, waiting to get into these two or three food things. What did they think?
I'm not sure. it was, and I think maybe they brought in some more food trucks on Saturday, but I never did see them. So people were waiting a long time for their food. I know Jenny and I, we just gave up on the food situation. The dream of actually acquiring food at the venue. So the hotel that we were staying at had a sort of a continental breakfast out, so we would just like stuff our pockets with stuff from the breakfast bar.
Stuff your pockets with the French version of bagels and off you went.
baguettes and cheese. Like I thought, oh, this is grand. This is fantastic. But after 7 days of only eating cheese sandwiches, like three meals a day.
So you didn't get any of that good French cuisine you were hoping for?
No.
Now, also, the other thing that was the major complaint here on the FEI's Facebook page and people wanting refunds was the traffic getting into the cross-country venue. Apparently, people waited 4 to 6 hours and got there after it was over.
Some people never did make it there to see actual riders go. I mean, that was another thing. We saw it coming from the start. We drove in the first day, and it's a beautiful drive. It's these winding backcountry roads through these just, picturesque little French villages with you know, little sheep wandering around, and it's adorable, but it is not traffic friendly. And unfortunately, they did not really. Another thing, they probably didn't think through. You know, if they had set up parking a ways away and had shuttles in, and they did have some shuttles, but not nearly enough. So lots of
will be a little bit like holding Rolex in Georgetown on one of the little back roads that's a lane and a half wide, instead of having Rolex three quarters of a mile off the interstate. Yeah.
Right. And to put this in context for people, this was a much bigger event than, you can imagine a lot of people have been to Rolex Cross Country Day, and this was probably 20,000 people more than that, you know. And, that's already a big crowd. So,
and I just want to clarify for people around
the
world that are thinking,
for Broma.
Yeah, I do want to clarify something for people around the world that listen to us that are thinking that it's just us picky Americans that are doing this. When you read the Facebook page over there and all the comments, there are Europeans that, you know, like this lady, the best way to describe the event is organized chaos. I've been to all the European eventing championships, and she's from Belgium, for the last 14 years, and she says she will never go back to France again. So, I mean, you know, these are people from over there, too. It's just not us, the picky Americans, I'm saying. Now, before we run out of time, I have to ask you this. tell the story quickly of who was with you again?
Jenny.
Tell the story quickly of Jenny almost ending up in jail on the last day for assaulting a police officer.
This really sums it up, the story. So throughout, they had hired, the event had hired some sort of, you know, outside, sort of a third-party security agency to have security throughout the events. And so these are not horse people. These are big, surly security guards dressed all in black, you know, standing there with their arms crossed, from
dressed
a
in black, that's a nice touch. They look like ninjas or what?
Yeah, kind of like ninjas. bless Harry Mead's heart, you know, he lost his horse after a fantastic cross-country go on Saturday, and he's on the British team, and Great Britain was, it seemed, quite certain that they were going to be in the medals as a team. So he came on Sunday to the show jumping and was, you know, such a trooper, cheered on his teammates, was in his riding clothes so that he could go out and stand with his team as they accepted their medals. And Jenny walked past and spotted him in sort of an argument with a security guard. I don't think Harry was arguing, but the security guard was being pretty surly toward him. Harry just wanted to get to his wife in the stand, and the security guard would not let him pass. I think he said, Jenny said that the security guard said, it doesn't matter. So Jenny, and at this point, that we're on the last leg of our physical well-being, of our sanity, I'll just quote her post here. So in some sort of hungry, sleep-deprived rage, fueled by what a horrible cluster my entire experience at WEG had been up to that point, I shoved the security guard back from Harry and yelled, "The man just won a silver medal, for God's sake, let him through." And I think it took the guard by surprise, and in the time that he sort of was stunned by what was happening, Harry kind of slipped past him and went and found his wife, and then went out back out on the field shortly thereafter to collect his medals. But that's kind of
you're lucky you didn't lose your partner, right? I mean, you know that, right? She could have ended up in jail.
I mean, I would have paid money to see it, though. And I don't know if you saw any of the photos on Facebook of Jenny and I's attire throughout the week, but we were decked out. We looked like the 4th of July explosion every single day in support of Team USA. So I'm sure that that kind of maybe, you know, to see this gal in patriotic attire. I think that day she was wearing, like, super bright red tights and shorts and who knows what else, red, white, and blue, to shove a security guard. And, you know, I'm sure that that caught him off guard. But, yeah, that happens.
And he wasn't going to turn her in because he didn't want to – he didn't want to have all his friends saying, you got pushed around by her. The crazy American girl that's 5'2"? Well, thank you, Leslie. Are you going to be back with us on Monday? We'll talk about some normal stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. See you then. Thanks for checking in. HorseNation.com and EventingNation.com. Great coverage, by the way. Good job. I've read every article. Good job over there.
Well, we certainly enjoyed it. We enjoyed it, you know, in spite of, for sure.
Right. Thanks, Leslie. Have a good weekend. Well, that was fun. Well, we're going to continue on here. We have a couple other things we need to get to yet before we get to really bad ads. And the first is Wendy and I had an opportunity to speak with a gentleman by the name of Albert Cleave, who is who was past president of the Percheron Horse Association of America and chairman of the World Percheron Congress. And he owns a six-hand hitch that travels around the country and is heading off to the six-horse hitch classic finals in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. But the reason that we had a chat with him over the driving radio show and wanted to share it with you is because Wendy and I have been invited to go up to the World Percheron Congress, the world, and attend it, and also to compete. We are going to be in the celebrity driving competition, and we talked about that with Albert. So I think you'll enjoy this conversation. It was a lot of fun about our trip coming up, and we'll be coming to you live on Horses in the Morning from the World Percheron Congress in another month. So here is Albert Cleave in our interview Dr. Wendy Ying and I did. Well, hey, Albert, thank you so much for joining us here on the Driving Radio Show.
Well, I'm just tickled death to be here, and hopefully I can give you a little bit of information about the show.
Now, Wendy, all the driving Albert has done have made us look like, well, he's just driven a ton more than we ever thought about driving. and, you know, literally and figuratively I would say that, because he's certainly driven more tonnage than we have ever thought about driving. You know, I know that you've been the chairman of the World Percheron Congress for the last several of them, right?
Yes, I have. We've had five World Congresses here in the United States. The first one was in Minnesota, and it's been moved around to Missouri and Virginia and Iowa. And this year it's going to be in Springfield, Massachusetts.
And now, has it grown in popularity through the years? Has it always been, you know, since you started, has it been big?
Each one has grown. Our biggest and best was in 2010. We had the World Percheron Congress in Des Moines, Iowa, and there was a huge crowd. It's very popular in the Midwest. As you know, Percherons were really the horses that farmed this country. They also moved all the freight for the vendors that made everything from lumber to all the different items that we would eat and supply our homes with. So the Percherons have been very popular over the years. They took the place of the tractors on the farm, and they also took the place of the semi-trucks back years ago.
You know, a lot of people think that the, you know, that the Belgians, because you see more Belgians now if you go to different competitions than you do Percherons, but there were more Percherons than any other draft breed back in the early 1900s doing the work. The Belgians came on, you know, Percherons sort of died out a little bit during the World Wars, and then the Belgians sort of took over as far as numbers were concerned. But I still like my big black women. It's the way I like them, big and black with big butts.
Well, I do too. We actually hook through eight.
I mean, white Percherons are okay, but I'm partial to the black ones.
Well, you know, the white ones actually start out black when they're born, and then they start turning gray, kind of like we do at a fairly early age, 2 or 3 years old. They'll get some gray hairs in them, and then over the years they'll be dapple, eventually ending up as white. Now, the black Percherons are actually born kind of a mousy-colored brown, and after they shed their first baby hair, they become black and stay black from then on. They never do turn white. So that's the two most popular colors. There are a few sorrels and bays and other colors, but predominantly the Percherons are probably around 70% black now and 25, almost 30% gray, and then those occasional other colors.
Huh. How can you tell, just as a curiosity question, how can you tell if you're looking at a six-month-old or a yearling, how can you tell what color they're going to be? Can you?
Well, you can. When the colts are born, if your colt is a real shiny black, if you look at that foal in the sunlight, you'll normally see just a few gray hairs around its eye.
Okay.
And if that colt is born black, it will turn gray over its lifetime. Now, if it's born kind of a mousy-colored brown, then when it sheds its hair, it'll turn out black and stay black from then on.
Huh. Okay. That's good to know. That was for my future reference, by the way.
For when you're picking out Percheron.
Yes, that's right. That's what someday. So now, now tell us, you're a six horse hitch driver, right?
I used to drive. I don't anymore. This is kind of a young man's game. I'm retired now, and I've got Dean Woodbury that actually does the fitting and the showing for me, and he also drives because he works them every day, and the person that works them needs to get the glory of driving. But Dean will be there, and he'll drive everything from a kart team, unicorn, 4, 6, 8. We also will be driving 4 abreast. The Percherons also will be doing a lot of other things while they're there. They were used for farming, so we include Percheron classes for farming. They'll actually be out there plowing with a single walking plow. They'll be out there plowing with sulky plows, which is a riding plow. They'll be working ground. They'll drag some logs. They'll have obstacle courses set up where they're judged on how they maneuver in and around the obstacles. Believe it or not, there's a lot of people ride these Percherons. It seems like the smaller the women, the more they want to ride. Ride these big Percherons. Usually what you see is a little 5'2" gal on top of a 2,000-pound Percheron. So they'll ride both in English and Western. We'll also have some pleasure driving classes whereby they'll actually just drive at a pleasure gait, just a real relaxed little gait like a Sunday afternoon drive. Then, of course, the hitch classes, that's where the animation, the presence, the style, and everything really comes to play, and that's how the winners are determined, is how anxious they are to perform and really just look good for you.
And
there's a wide variety of things to see at the World Percheron Congress.
I wanted to mention any of our listeners that want to meet Wendy and I. We're going to be out there on Tuesday, October the 7th. The Congress goes from the 6th all the way through that following weekend, the 11th. It ends on Saturday, ends on Saturday the 11th in the evening there. But we're going to be there. Wendy and I will be there Tuesday, October 7th. We're doing our live Horses in the Morning show from a very popular show from the World Percheron Congress, and we're doing our first driving radio show live. We've never done the driving radio show live. We'll be doing that in the afternoon there, so if you want to meet Wendy and I, come out on that Tuesday, and then you can come cheer us on because we're driving in the Celebrity Charity Drive-Off. So,
and I bet you don't want to win this trophy that the person that comes in last gets
well,
the...
You know who donated that trophy, don't you? We did. I'll tell you, everybody, about that. We donated because that's the way we are. Wendy and I decided, you know, we have to donate a trophy for one of these classes, and we thought, what better to donate than the worst driver in the celebrity drive-off, which we figured was going to be either Wendy or I, so we're going to win our own trophy. But, yeah, we got this trophy. It's really cool. I sent it up to you guys. It is a picture of a horse's behind. It is a horse's ass, and that is the trophy. It is an official-looking trophy with a horse's butt, and it actually looks like a Percheron butt. It's big and round. So
I've got it sitting here for you.
Yes, that's right.
But that's the judge's decision. That's not mine.
Well, I guarantee you, Wendy and I will be guaranteed to win that. Now, see, Wendy, she's like a WEG, World Equestrian Games level four-in-hand driver. I've never driven a pair before. I've only done singles and fours, so I'm doomed.
Well, you can come down and practice.
Oh, you probably are.
I'm going to go down. I am going to go down to Wendy's and take at least one lesson on driving a pair. So,
well, that'd be good.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you the pair that you will drive up there will be way better than my pair.
Well, the competition is pretty stiff. There's some people that had a lot of experience, at least riding horses and real good horsemen that will be there.
Oh, don't tell us that.
So you better practice a lot.
You're supposed to tell us all they're a bunch of radio and TV guys have never driven before. That would be better. That's what we want to hear, Albert. You're not getting the answers right here today.
Well, you better get it right before you get there.
Well, let me tell you, I guarantee you this, Albert. Wendy and I are going to provide the entertainment for the night.
That's
people
right.
are there to be entertained.
Okay.
Why do people go to NASCAR? To watch the wrecks. Well, you come and watch Wendy and I. We guarantee you.
I don't want to forget any
wrecks. We're doing an obstacle course. You better have two sets ready because we're going to take care of the first set.
All right. We'll have it ready for you.
Oh, we're looking forward to this. It's going to be so much fun. We are going to have a good time there. And, you know, there is a little bit of something for everybody. You have barrel racing. I mean, I can't wait to watch that with Percheron.
Oh, no.
we try to use the Percherons every way that you can possibly use them. That way everybody has a chance to come and participate and take home a ribbon, perhaps a trophy from the World Congress. So it's going to be a good time, great facility. It's going to be held there at the Big E facility in Springfield, Massachusetts. It's well known for its horse shows, and we're looking forward to a big crowd there cheering everybody
on. If you're a horse person and live in New England, you've been to the Big E in November. So, you know, you've been there for that expo in November.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you know where it is, and it is it's a perfect spot for what you guys are going to do. It's big enough, and I say that literally. It's big enough to accommodate the draft horses because not all facilities are set up for that.
That's true. That is exactly right.
Yeah.
And I might also add that this is an opportunity for folks to see the Percheron World Congress in the northeast part of the country. It does rotate. You know, it's been it was last held in Iowa. Before that, it was held in Virginia. Before that, Missouri. The one previous to that was Minnesota. So it's moved around, and it's only held every 4 years. Therefore, when it's in your neck of the woods, so to speak, you better come and take a peek because you're going to have to travel a long way to see the next one in 2018. Of course, it's just a great time of the year to visit the Northeast. I don't have to tell you about the leaves and how pretty it is right at the end of September, the first part of October. Just a beautiful time to visit the Northeast.
Yeah, if it was any later in time, we wouldn't have gotten Wendy to go because we're both Florida people, and it would have been getting way too cold for her then.
Well, weather's going to be perfect.
Well, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, it is October 6th through the 11th at West Springfield at the Eastern States Exposition Fairgrounds in West Springfield, Mass. So you can hop online. You can go to 2014 World Percheron Congress to see all the details and, you know, .com. Check it out there. And as I said, Wendy and I are going to be there Tuesday, October 7th. If you're planning on coming, if one of our listeners is planning on coming over that day, drop Wendy and I an email at glenn@horseradionetwork.com or wendy@horseradionetwork.com, and we'll let you know the details about where we're going to be so we can meet up with you. We'd love to meet some of our listeners and hang out with you that evening watching all the activities. That would be a lot of fun. So thank you, Albert.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you, and we look forward to seeing everyone there in October.
Well, and of course, that was Albert Cleave is his name, and he is from the World Perch Run Congress, and Wendy and I are certainly looking forward to doing that and also coming to you live from there one day in the beginning of October. This show is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. I am Glenn DeGeek here with Coach Jen, is co-hosting today. Jamie is at her event. If you didn't hear, she was with us earlier in the show. For our little tribute to Sandy Lovato. She joined us for that, and she is at an event and competing in dressage today, so I think she's probably getting ready for that right now. We have a WEG update, a quick WEG update, and then on to really bad ads right after this word from Easy Signs Online. This week's spotlight product from EasySignsOnline.com is their outdoor silhouette cutouts. Made from a long-term outdoor durable vinyl aluminum material, these cutouts will outlast the old-style painted wood ones by many, many years. A great way to add an equestrian image to your barn, horse stalls, mailboxes, houses, or campers. Choose from dozens of equestrian or animal graphics online, available in two different sizes starting at only $59.95. And remember, free shipping on most orders over $100, all at EasySignsOnline.com. Get your silhouette cutout today. Thank you to Easy Signs Online for I just lost my train of thought.
Sponsoring the show.
Thank you.
Glenn, it's Friday. It's Friday, late in the show.
Yes,
and your brain
Friday.
Is clogged,
it's
just like
the
those toilets at WEG. Yeah.
That's right. That's true. Well, this is we'll do a quick WEG report and try and make this as fast as possible for you, because I know everybody wants to get to really bad ads. There are three things going on today: jumping, vaulting, and driving. Yesterday saw the results from the jumping, and they were good for the United States. The Netherlands claimed the gold in the second time in the history of the World Jumping Championship. Their previous victory was in 2006 in Aachen. They had won the World Championships, so the Netherlands took that. The Team France claimed the silver, ahead of the USA in bronze. So we were in third place, but France, apparently the place went nuts when the French took their stand for claiming their silver medal. 9 out of 10 nations qualified for the last round of the team a jumping championship, and also the top 5 will qualify for an Olympic spot. The Olympic spots that qualified were the Netherlands, France, United States, Germany, and Sweden are all now qualified as teams for the Olympics in Rio. Brazil is automatically qualified, but Brazil also did very well here at the jumping.
Wouldn't
so,
that be
kind of a surprise.
If they hadn't qualified and they have the Olympics? That would
The host nation is automatically qualified for all of this.
Oh, okay.
So they got a pass on that one.
Yeah, good.
9 horse and rider combinations jumped clear. You know, there were hundreds. So, you know, that says a lot about how tough the course was, including BZ Madden. So BZ Madden on Cortez jumped clear. So that was kind of nice to know. Now, what happens is the individual competitions will continue. They have a day off today, and then tomorrow and Sunday they'll continue with the individual competitions. So that's what happens in the world of jumping. By the end of the day, and Sunday is always the last event to go at WAG, we'll know who the world champion individually is for show jumping. Vaulting, they had a technical performance yesterday. They have so many levels of performances, I can't keep track of them all.
There's just
tons of them. I know, there's just tons of them. So because we're running short on time, I'll just say that our friend Joanne Eccles from Great Britain took the female individual in technical vaulting. So, you know, she's the reigning champion now, and she will be coming back and continuing the competition to see who wins the overall individual. But she is still in it. And it's sitting in third individually is Mary McCormick of the United States. I wanted to mention that. So that's very good to know. So the team and individual competitions in vaulting continues now. And then driving, I have very good news. Let me just hit refresh here and check it out because I think they're finished now for the morning. And the dressage, I think, has finished in driving now. And we have very good news for the United States in that Chester Weber has taken the lead. Mr. Dressage, he is in the lead in first place on a score of 200. I don't know exactly how they do it. 127.79. They score oddly, like they do eventing. But he's in the lead with 127.79. Right behind him with a 124 is Boyd Excel, which we thought he would be. From Australia, he's a reigning world champion. And then from the Netherlands has the next three spots, and then Germany. So for once, we get ahead of the Netherlands and Germany in driving, and with a little help also of Boyd Excel from Australia. They go into the marathon phase tomorrow, which was the really fun one to watch, and it should be interesting. We're hearing lots of comments about that. So you can check that out on FEI TV if you have it. I think it starts at, the usual 4 a.m. Eastern time because of the time difference. It starts really early.
You get to see the first drive of the day then, won't you?
Yes, I'll probably see it, but nobody else will here in the United States. I'll be the only one. I'm looking here, and it looks like, looking at the schedule, Normandy driving for the marathon starts at 3:50 a.m. Eastern time.
Oh,
there you go.
That's even tough for you.
I will not see the first ride tomorrow morning at 3:50 a.m. No, I might catch it somewhere in the middle. But that's
now, do they have the Oregon Go yet?
That they do. No, they do not have that posted yet.
Okay.
So that'll be posted later in the day. But I heard the course is easy in some spots and challenging, but they have it the time so tight that people are going to have to be flying through it. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all comes out. So that's it for our World Equestrian Games coverage for today. It'll be over on Sunday. That's the jumping and cones for driving are the last things. They have a polo demonstration tomorrow. Is one of their sort of, what do they call them? The disciplines that they're testing out.
Yeah.
So they're kind of testing that out like they did baseball last week. So
if you have to pick one, which would you rather have as an official sport, polo or horseball?
Horseball for me because it's just so damn much fun to watch.
Yeah. It is crazy fun to watch.
It's like watching professional wrestling on horses. So, yeah, horseball for me. I'm all over horseball. All right, let's do it. You think it's about that time? And
pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads. And Jennifer is filling in for Jamie today. She's going to help me out here a little bit. We have some good ads for you coming up, thanks to our listeners who submitted them. But we have some terrific prizes, and Jennifer's going to tell you about those right now.
Really Bad Ads prizes this week are provided by Dr. Rose's Remedies. Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatment salve and spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, and antiviral, and antifungal. They kill it all. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective treatment for all manner of cuts and scrapes on your horse. Dr. Rose's is the must-have product here at Horse Radio Network headquarters to keep BT Scooter's delicate white pasterns free from dew poisoning and scratches. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them at drrosesremedies.com. Dr. Rose's Remedies treatment, skin treatment and salve is distributed through a distributor now, which it hadn't been previously. So if your local tack shop does not carry it yet, it's easy for them to get. They don't have to go through a separate company and separate billing system and things like they used to. So have them check into Dr. Rose's Remedies for your local shelf. And prizes also provided by Uncle Jimmy's brand products. Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls and Licky Things help combat stall boredom by providing your horse entertainment in the stall while at the same time providing them much-needed minerals and nutrients that are either not found in horse treats or are left at the bottom of the box or the bin. Uncle Jimmy's has training treats covered, too, with Uncle Jimmy's Squeezing Buns. Every deliciously soft, squishy treat is individually wrapped for freshness, and your pockets don't get gummed up. Ask for Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls, Licky Things, and Squeezy Buns at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can go online to uncle-jimmys.com.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, let's get started here today. And again, these are ads that our listeners submit, usually off of Craigslist, and we just share them and have a little fun with them. The names that we're going to say are the people who submitted the ads to us, our listeners who sent it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, not the people who wrote the ads. All right, here we go. First one is from Sandy Murphy. Thank you, Sandy. Looking to borrow someone's horse for the day. Let me see every day. I need to – oh, and for a dollar, by the way. I need to borrow someone's horse for the morning with 15 exclamation points. I don't know how to ride, but if you can trailer said horse to my house and put the seat thing on it, then I can parade around on it in my front lawn when my fellow office mates drive past on the way to work. My coworkers don't think too highly of me, and I think them seeing me on a horse will put me up in my office cred a whole lot.
Gosh.
It's going to put you in the hospital.
This sounds like an episode from The Office right here.
I know. I'll trade you something for your time. I can offer house cleaning, yard cleaning, barn cleaning, boat or car cleaning, animal cleaning and brushing, interior decorating, free office work / organization, or you name it, or I can provide some spot cash money. I need it tomorrow. Thanks. How many sane horse people responded to this, do you think?
I have none. Is this in a college town? Maybe this is some kind of a hazing exercise for frat boys or something. Bizarre.
Well, where did this person think that riding a horse in the front yard was going to impress the office mates? Where did that come from?
I don't know. I don't know. It's just weird.
Oh, no. The only thing you're going to impress is the ER, the emergency room doctors. That's what.
Thank you, Sandy. This next one is from Lila Thomason. This is a good, short and sweet. Rabbit, thoroughbred with cage, $20. Cute thoroughbred rabbit, loves people. Comes with cage and everything else you might need. $20 or best offer. What I really need to know here is, was this rabbit raced? Because I don't want one off the track.
No, it's probably skinny and crazy. Is there really a thoroughbred rabbit?
No.
No? Did you look that up?
Maybe this rabbit participates in that rabbit show jumping thing that we've seen on Horse and Country TV. Maybe that's it.
It's got speed. It's a speed rabbit. Thoroughbred rabbit, $20. Thank you, Lila. All right, Rachel sent the following one in. Percheron mare, $1,500. I have a 17-hand flea-bitten Percheron mare, and I need gone as soon as possible. She stands great for the farrier. She ties, she bathes, she rides and loads. Well, sounds perfect. She can be a bit of a pain if she hasn't been on the trailer in a while. She has a summer itch right now, so she rubbed her mane out. Oh, that's attractive. She should stop itching in the fall. There you go. We're not going to do anything about it until then. She knows voice commands on the ground and in the saddle. She is acting up right now because she has gotten used to having a pasture mate, and I guess the pasture mate left. If put out alone, she will break your wooden fences. She respects hot wire or barbed wire. Yeah, that's something we love to use with our Percherons. So don't even bother contacting me unless you're properly set up. I prefer cash because I don't trust checks, and you're not bringing this horse back. I added that. You know me, I love Percherons. We just talked about Percherons. but $1,500 for a Percheron that will break your wooden fencing that looks like hell because it's scratched out in its entire main, and also is a bit barn sour right now. It really needs a friend. Yeah.
Wow.
So you have 2,000 pounds of terror.
Yeah, the horse needs to be gone ASAP. If she just turns off the hot wire in approximately 48 hours, the horse will notice that, and she'll be gone. Salt problem solved.
Oh, yeah, I think this horse will notice it in about 5 minutes, and it'll be out at the neighbors. Yeah, and please, people, no barbed wire for horses. I'm just saying. Sound like Janie here.
Not a good idea. Never a good idea. All right, next up, this one's from Shauna. Morgan Mare, $250. Ooh, sounds like a deal. I have a registered Morgan Mare. She is 11 years old, and I must part with her. She's not perfect, was injured as a two-year-old, and isn't quite right in the hip. She has a wonderful personality. Beautiful to look at, she's liver chestnut with a flaxen mane and tail. Unfortunately, I'm not sure if it's her getting a bit older. Her beautiful mane and tail has not been flaxen for a couple of years now. It's much darker. But she's a great horse.
So why didn't the ad say, you know, it said beautiful to look at, blah, 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 with a flaxen mane and tail? But unfortunately, that hasn't been that way for many, many. That's like me saying, I have wonderful dark hair until it got all gray.
That's weird. Maybe he's confusing his horses. Maybe there's two of them out there and he wasn't sure which one.
Yes.
That way he's covered all of his bases.
Oh, and she's not quite right in the hip, which means she's really lame, which is why he spent the next four sentences just talking about how wonderful she looks, because you can't do anything with her.
She's a lawn ornament.
She's going to be a pasture ornament. Yes, as long as you understand that, terrific. Go save this non-flaxen mane and tail, Morgan. She needs help.
Yep.
Mary sent the following one in. 12-year-old kid's mare, $2,000. 12-year-old kid's barrel horse. Excellent kid's horse, but kicks at strange horses. She is great once she gets used to your horses, but kicks when around strangers. She rides good with no bad habits other than kicking at other horses. She won't kick at people, just horses. Call now, $2,000. That's just what you want. You want to put your kid on a kicking horse that's going to kick at everything that moves. But not people, just other horses. So as long as you never, ever see another horse, you're fine. But the barrel race, you know, kind of when you go to a barrel race, what happens? You see a lot of other horses because you're not the only one there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh. And I love how the fact that she mentioned it four times. The only thing that this woman knows about this horse and cares about this horse is that she kicks. We didn't hear how big. We didn't hear what breed. We didn't hear anything else. She is obsessed on this horse kicking the crap out of everything else.
Maybe this is a clever ruse, though, because the horse actually bucks, bolts, and rears, too. But she figures kicking is the least offensive of the lot. So she'll really highlight the kicking, and you won't notice the rest because you'll assume it's all good.
Well, that's true. That could be. You got a point.
Yeah.
You got a point. Yeah. Thank you, Mary. That was a good one.
Technique.
$2,000 for the kicking barrel horse.
There we go. All right, this one's from Jody. Gelding, 3 years old in the Dickeyville area. This horse is registered, but I can't seem to find his papers. It's a tall horse. I have rode it three times, but I definitely don't consider it broke. It's easy to get a saddle on, but not easy to ride. $400, the best offer. Maybe willing to trade for anything with a motor of equal value.
A lawnmower. Okay, first of all, can't seem to find its papers. Yeah, nobody can. It's a tall horse. Relative to what? I don't know. And I love this. I rode three times, but definitely don't consider it broke. This person is really honest. You got to give them that.
Yeah.
Really
very
honest.
Straight up.
Throw the
not
saddle up
ride.
There, but not easy
don't
to ride.
On.
Good luck with that. That's funny. The next one was sent in by Uta, our friend up there in Ohio. A 1953 horse trailer. This has to be the oldest one we've ever had. For $600 in California. Yes, it's 1953, and it looks it. The ad reads, this trailer needs a little love and is This trailer needs a little love. It's a great trailer. Needs tires, lights, and help to make it not so ugly. Asking $600 cash on pickup only because you ain't bringing this baby back. And it's sitting there in what looks like a junkyard. It looks like it's made of wood. It has a very, it's not the usual two-horse front trailer. It has a very high top and no back. It's like a half trailer. But the problem is it's sitting completely on the ground because it looks like the tires are flat and the wheels may be too. I'm not sure. They've sunk into the ground. I'm not sure.
It's an El Camino horse trailer.
It is. It does look like an a 1950s El Camino horse trailer. That's exactly what it looks like. Yes, a little love
and,
to make it not so
and
ugly.
And all of the other vehicles surrounding it in its little junkyard home are circa, at one on the left, probably about a 1963, I'm going to say that's a Chevy over there, and the one to the right, the 1972 Plymouth. Yeah.
There's probably a Bel Air there, too, when I think of a Bel Air on the left. You could probably pull this thing with a Bel Air. Looks a little top-heavy.
I like the white wall tire there on the spare. That's good looking.
I know. It looks like they took it off the Bel Air and put it on the front of the trailer. It's the only tire that has air. It's the spare.
The spare.
Well, Jennifer will post that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. You'll get to see the trailer of the week. That was a good one, Uta. Good job.
Thank you.
Next
All right,
up,
Ellen.
This
is Ellen. Ellen
sent
us a poem. Yeah, Ellen sent us a poem. Big red gelding for sale or trade. Experienced riders only. Team hands. 21 years old. Neck reins, as in king and queen. Rides western. Barn sour. Don't have time to put into this old horse. He's bad barn sour. Trade for anything of equal value. I'll trade you a loaf of bread for that 21-year-old barn sour horse. It's equal value.
They can't get him out the gate. He won't leave the gate. He keeps heading back.
Yep. They've sold him 4 times, and he keeps coming back.
He neck reins right back to the barn.
Yeah.
That's funny. Let's call that the last one of the day that Ellen sent in there. All right, we need to pick a couple of winners. We have Dr. Rose's Remedies is the first thing that we have, and we also have Uncle Jimmy's gift pack from Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls. I got to say, Sandy has to win something, don't you? Sandy is the one that sent in the guy looking to ride the horse in the front yard for his friends to be impressed. So Sandy has to win something. Let's give – oh, you know what? This guy needs – or Sandy needs Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls for that ad. I think Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls is perfect for that. Did you have a favorite?
I did. I loved the 12-year-old kid's kicking barrel racer.
Yeah.
The kicking
barrel
race. Excellent.
That's from Mary Calkins, sent that one in. So you win some Dr. Rose's Remedies. Thank you so much to everybody who submitted their ads today. We really appreciate it. And we appreciate you joining us and being with us for the entire show. We thank you for that as well. I think that's going to be about it for today. We'll be back here on Monday live. Jamie will be back and I'm sure she's going to have some interesting stories to tell us from the weekend. So we will hear about those on Monday as well. Have a terrific weekend, everybody. Be safe out there and give your loved ones an extra hug today. Tell them
you
love them.
Give them an extra hug every day. Every day.
Let's do that. I'll be over, Jennifer.
All righty. See you in a minute.
Wear your helmet.